Colorado State Board of Education will now conduct a hearing in case number 14-CS-02, the appeal of the Tri-City Academy and Delta Schools from the decision of the Arapahoe County School District Number 1's Board of Education to deny Trinity's charter school application. During this hearing, the board is acting in its capacity to hear appeals of charter schools and will hold an appellate hearing under the relevant Charter School Appeal Law 22-30.5-108. Appellate hearings are conducted very differently from regular board meetings. The procedures are set forth in the board's governing documents. I will review these procedures before we begin the hearing. I'd like to ask the person chosen to represent each party to enter your name in the record along with the party you represent. Yes, sir.
Dustin Sparks. I'll be presenting oral arguments on behalf of Tri-City Academy and Delta Schools. Denise Mund will also be available for questions. Luke Mund is also available for questions, and I will actually ask him to speak directly to the curriculum, technology, and the budget. And Mr. Rick Gillett is here on behalf of Tri-City Academy as its lead applicant.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mr. Reister?
Reister.
Reister.
Thank you. Adele Reister, I'm the attorney for the district, and I have here with me today 2015 Colorado Superintendent of the Year, Brian Ewert, for the district.
You had to sneak that in.
As well as John Cavalli, Chief Financial Officer, and Dwayne Tucker, Board President. Mr. Ewert will be handling the oral arguments for the district, and the remaining three will be available to answer questions.
Thank you. You jumped ahead and took care of that one. The role of the State Board is to consider only those issues raised with the record on appeal. References to documents or testimony not present in the record on appeal will not be considered by the Board. In relation to those issues in the Notice of Appeal, the Board will apply the following standard of review following oral argument. The Board will decide whether it is in the best interest of the pupils, the school district, or the community to support the local board's decision to deny Tri-City's charter school. Only the individuals identified by the parties have the opportunity to address the board. Would I assume again that you will give up 20 minutes of your time for rebuttal and take 20? I don't have that in here, but I know that's the...
Madam Chairman, I would like to start with 15 and reserve 15. Thank you.
Okay, 15 and 15. Yes, Ms. Reister?
I did it wrong again, sorry. That's okay. The district will do 22 minutes and then reserve 8 for rebuttal.
You guys got really specific. Carrie, I hope you have this all down. Okay. And as I read this morning that... you may interrupt at any time, and you don't have to ask. You know, Robert's rules don't apply so much. If somebody's talking and you want to say, just go ahead and say it. But do try to stick to asking specific questions about the things they're talking about and not get into, at this point, the sort of extraneous examples. Tri-City, the applicant, shall present its arguments, including questions from the State Board. Would you like to begin?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Oh, there's that door. There somewhere.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Board members, Commissioner, CDE staff. Good to see you all again. I hope you had a good lunch. So we're going to skip many of the introductions we went through this morning, save time there. But again, just to give you an overview, I will address some of the shortcomings throughout the presentation, but we'll address some specific ones through Mr. Mund. And we're going to start off actually by doing that. So I'm going to ask Mr. Mund to talk about the core knowledge curriculum, the blended learning delivery method that will be used, some of the technology issues and how that's implemented, as well as budget concerns. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Munn for now.
Madam Chair, if I may interject, he's not designated for oral argument, so unless there's a question for him, I would object to this in terms of the procedure.
Ms. Barkle, what? Wasn't he the spokesperson?
I'll ask the question. I'll go ahead and ask the question to describe the curriculum, please.
Tri-State Academy really wants to be a unique offering to the district. The idea behind Tri-City is to be a core knowledge charter school, which is a proven track record all across Colorado and with this population. I myself was a core knowledge student from third through eighth grade, and then I have had 6 years of teaching core knowledge in charter schools in Colorado. One of those being a 96% minority charter school in Denver that was very successful with those students using core knowledge. What makes core knowledge so unique is that it has a spiraling curriculum. So students are taught the introduction of the curriculum at the younger years, and then as they're going up, they're reintroduced the content, but at a more in-depth time. So a student will learn about the founding fathers in kindergarten, first grade, and then get them again later on. Learn about the Romans in third grade, and then get it again in seventh grade. So they'll get those that content again. And one of the greatest things with the high minority population that we seek to serve is the cultural literacy, is that core knowledge is all about teaching students what it is to be a member of society and to be cultural literate. So one thing that it does is that it teaches sayings and phrases so that students know what that means. And for a lot of students that are learning a second language, that's oftentimes the hardest things to know. I know learning a second language myself, it was all the sayings and phrases in Spanish that threw me up, because when we say in English, pot calling the kettle black, it's hard to translate that without the cultural context. So that's what we want to do. Also, you have art, music, literature, and social studies that all teach the same curriculum at the same time. So you're reading about Anne Frank in literature class at the same time as learning about World War II in social studies. And then you're also listening to the music of the time in your music class, so that the students are more well-developed as a whole child instead of just teaching one specific. And that's very good with students that may be below grade level or learning a second language. And then the blended learning with the technology, we really wanted to do because that's what we've seen the most success with. There was a big study that just came out examining 100,000 students that were in blended learning schools, and it showed that they grew 1 to 2 standard deviations more than traditional non-blended learning schools. And most of those students were lower performing schools or high minority or lower economic status schools. And so blended learning has been growing like crazy across the country. And so we wanted to use that, and we specifically chose technologies that would serve the population. So we want to use ST Math, which is a math program that doesn't use language to teach math at all. It just says numbers are universal across all languages and takes the students through adaptive lessons that can teach them without having the barriers of language. That's something that's very unique to us. It's not something that the district is currently providing, along with our reading program as well, that offers unique offerings that are currently not available. And we think that the population, and they've told us this, would really be interested in getting the choice. As far as budget then, we really were conservative in making the budget. We didn't include grant money, we didn't include very much title money, because we wanted to be really conservative in it. So we have budgeted for as much as we could, but we also know that there's more sources of income that'll be taking in. And we are including some student fees in there, but those are for non-district students, and they're for things like field trips and consumable materials.
Mr. Munn, let me ask you, if you have 6 years' experience in an at-risk school using core knowledge, did you measure the level of growth of the students?
Please. Yeah, so the middle school that I taught at in DPS, we had insane growth numbers, and actually for all of DPS middle schools, we had the highest we had the highest writing scores and one of the highest reading scores. And I've since moved on from that school, but we had great success with it.
Was that in growth or academic
It was in growth because our students were multiple years behind.
But you understand that that's different than being high in academic.
Yeah, and that's
standing.
But that was my question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mund. So the school absolutely values English language learning and the experts involved, which is why this Tri-City engaged Dr. Medina to help design a program that addressed the needs of students that are English learners. And so I want to clarify a misconception that we don't value the English language learner experts, but what we do question here in this application as well is the experience of the district as well of their outside consultants in running, managing, and evaluating charter schools in particular. While I'm sure they all have expertise in various areas of education, they do not have the expertise in charter school management that and teaching in charter schools and budgeting for charter schools that the team before you on behalf of Tri-City and Delta has. I also want to address the role of the board. The board itself for Tri-City Academy, who would be the charter holder. Well, first, I want to point out there are two residents of Englewood that are on the Tri-City Academy board and a centennial resident who's the grandparent of students living within the district. And then there's a fourth member of the board who was recently an Englewood resident, but whose schools were attending Littleton and then moved to better accommodate his kids that were commuting out of the district. So the role of the board is not to be education experts. There's no requirement for a school district board or even the State Board of Education that you've taught a day in your life or have any experience in education at all. And so this board had a desire to serve its community, to provide better schools for its students, grandchildren, and so they partnered with Delta Schools, who had the education experience, not only here at CDE, but is made up of individuals who are currently running successful charter schools. And so it's through that pairing that the Tri-City Academy board is gaining its expertise. As you all hire a commissioner and assistant commissioners and all these experts in the education field to provide you guidance and insight and make decisions on your behalf on a daily basis, that's what the Tri-City Academy is doing by hiring a principal. So, yes.
So I'm interested in what the plan is. I think I understand the fact that this is a board that is not made up of parents in the community that is looking for it. What are your plans ultimately once you have students? What percentage of your board will be parents? What percentage will be educators within the school? In other words, do you plan to maintain this what one would probably call citizen board, or do you have plans to make it more of a school community?
So this board does consist of parents that will have students attending and grandparents that will have students attending.
Okay.
But they also intend to add more board members from the community once the school is up and
what's
running.
What's the size now, please? What's the size of the board now, please?
Five, is that?
Five. And what's your proposed size, or have you thought about that?
I think it's the bylaws call for 5 to 9 as the size.
So it's fairly small.
So it's at the minimum right now, leaving 4 seats.
And then do you plan to have an election in order to identify the folks to add, or what sort of process have you thought about in governance?
It'll be a self-replicating board.
A what?
So a self-replicating board. The board members themselves will... Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
Help me understand. I don't even know how this works.
The bylaws call for 2 seats to be parent representatives voted on by the parents, and the other 5 positions are meant to be like community members or professionals in the area, and they will be self-replicating.
What does self-replicating mean?
The seated board members at the time will vote on who fills an open seat.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I also, again, want to address the reason for the two applications. So, as we discussed this morning, Sheridan is less than 2.5 square miles, so very limited facilities within that district. Englewood is larger, but still a small district with less than 3,000 students. The best odds for the charter school finding a facility in order to serve the students that are concentrated on the border between Sheridan and Englewood was to make both applications. Now, while the briefs have mentioned that Tri-City would like to be able to be authorized by one or the other district and possibly locate within the other, that is not something that that would be something both districts would have to agree to. So if the district that did not authorize the charter school said, no, we won't let you locate here, but that's where the facility is, the school wouldn't have an option. So it needed to have approved applications from both districts to maximize their opportunity to find a facility that would be suitable. So how much time do I have, Ms. Markle? Okay. So the new party to this is Englewood School District, and as I mentioned, it's geographically small, less than 3,000 students. It's currently accredited with an improvement plan and did not meet any of the performance indicators in any category currently. The charters, they have turned down three charter schools now within 3 years. And so they do have experience with receiving applications and going through the evaluation process, but now do have a track record of denying charter school applications 3 years in a row now. So there, as far as I'm aware, there are at least five districts that are contiguous to Englewood, Sheridan, Littleton, DPS, and Cherry Creek schools. So once again, this school, if located in Englewood, can draw its majority population, if necessary, and still be statutorily compliant from any one of those five districts. And because the intent is for it to draw from Sheridan, Englewood, and some of Littleton, there is going to be a lot of focus on targeting those areas, but will, of course, accept students from any of those contiguous districts, and if there's space allows, they would accept students from anywhere within Colorado, but can meet that statutory requirement from within any one of those five.
So the reason for the multiple applications is you will decide where the school will be determined by the decisions of the various school boards. You, at this time, you don't know exactly where you want to have the school.
Well, every time we locate a facility, we can't really commit to it at this point because we don't have an approved application. So at this point, we've more or less stopped actively looking until we settle this issue because there's really no point in you know, getting our dreams set on one particular facility when we don't have an application and
Thank
no
you.
Reason to commit.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask a question about why idioms. Is there a second language acquisition theory or the program that says that you teach idioms and so learning idioms will teach you a language? Idioms. You said saying phrases out loud, and what you described were idioms. So is there, I think myself an expert in the area, and I've never heard a program that is based on idioms.
I don't think the program is all based on idioms. I don't believe that's what Mr. Munn was saying at all. The program has actually been designed by Dr. Medina, and Mr. Munn gave examples of one way that the core knowledge curriculum does help students who are English language learners learn a second language, just as an example.
No.
Okay.
Excuse me.
No,
Chair. Can we get more chairs for some of the people? Or?
I don't think so.
We no, never we don't do. Need more chairs.
They're chairs tough things, Tim.
Fire.
Oh, okay.
there are some empty chairs here. Can you hear? So who? So I
Arapahoe County School District now shall make their presentation.
Good afternoon. I'm Brian Ewart, Superintendent of Inglewood Schools. And I'm here to tell you the story of Inglewood Schools, the past, the present, and a revisioned future. The story of schools of choice and charter applications would be most likely a verbal tapestry that would take much more time in this particular hearing than we have. So I'm going to stick to script and try to hit the compelling bits of our story that you might have questions about later. It's also important for you to hear our story because within that story is the context in which you guys will make your final decision. Until recently, Inglewood Schools has been in declining enrollment. While the enrollment has stabilized for the past 3 years, the district continues to utilize averaging under the school finance formula. In the past 10 years, Inglewood Schools has closed a middle school and a beloved elementary school. And our declining enrollment issue is for lots of different reasons, as was pointed out possibly by at the previous appeal. The negative factor that has been applied to the school finance formula during the Colorado's Great Recession cost the district 16% of its general operating fund. It depleted the district reserves. It required difficult decisions to be made about people and programs. It required large class sizes, furlough days, and all while doing more with less. And all this time, we've been improving with student growth and achievement over the past 5 years. In 2010, Inglewood Schools was a turnaround district, and today we are, in fact, accredited with improvement. Bishop Elementary, which is one of our schools that will be potentially impacted by the opening of this charter school, was a turnaround school in 2010, and today it is a performance school as rated by CDE. The recent 2014 school performance framework reflects that it exceeds rating in growth gaps in every single subcategory of the school performance framework. During the same period of time, 5 years, the Denver Post has recognized Inglewood School District as having some of the highest gains in growth in math, reading, and writing. To demonstrate the community's support for the current Inglewood vision, in November of 2011, the voters passed a $50 million bond and a $1.5 million mill levy during the worst economic conditions that Colorado's seen in recent history. We were the only school district to pass both a bond and mill levy with community support in that year. We also received that same year an $8 million BEST grant, also to be used for capital construction. To be clear, Inglewood Schools is a district of choice. We embrace choice. Absolutely do. And you may hear differently, but that is not the case. 21% of our students, more than 600 kids, do not live in Inglewood's boundaries, and they attend our schools via our open enrollment policies. All of our schools are open to choice within district boundaries and open externally to anyone who lives in the South Metro Denver area. Year in and year out, our Inglewood Leadership Academy, which is a middle school of choice, is one of the highest performing middle schools in the state of Colorado. Charles Hay World School boasts an IB primary years program. Clayton Elementary School is one of the top visual and performing arts school in the Denver metro area. We also offer full free kindergarten to all of our kids. And each student in our district, kindergarten through 12th, receives an iPad when they enroll. And this helps us close the digital divide for many of those kids who do live in poverty and they have no access to technology at home. Our new Inglewood campus, that, by the way, is opening today, that houses three schools, Inglewood Leadership Academy, Inglewood Middle School, and Inglewood High School, and along with Colorado's finest high school of choice is the name of the school. It actually opens today, too, with new programming. It opens with a brand new culinary arts program, cosmetology program, STEM labs, sound engineering, convergent media, and a brand new orchestra program that hasn't been seen in Inglewood since probably the 70s. Most importantly, Inglewood Schools is getting results with students and the community is supportive of the district's our approach to revisioning. We've come a long way in 5 years, and we're fiercely proud of that progress, but we acknowledge we still have a lot of work to do. For us, it's about continuous improvement under really difficult circumstances and complex conditions. There are no silver bullets and easy solutions, as this charter application might imply. Turning to the best interest of students, the district and the community, the Board of Education carefully analyzed the application using a fair and objective process. The application was evaluated using the rubric. The district created a process that was aligned with the Charter School Act, with input from charter entities, and the district utilized outside experts to provide external objective lens to the application. Amy Slothauer, Michael Whitehead Bust, and Lori Deacon are highly respected across the state of Colorado as charter experts by district leaders and by the Charter School Institute and the League of Charter Schools. I'd like to give you just a couple of examples of comments that they made during their review of the Tri-City application. Amy Slothauer stated, quote, "There is no evidence provided that the community has had any input into the design of this school." Quote, "A relationship with Delta Schools is referenced throughout the application, but it is not described in detail. There is no contract with Delta. The appendix titled Delta School Development Plan has almost no detail about the specific services to be provided, and there's no description about that financial arrangement between Delta Schools and the applicant." Michael Whitehead Bus stated, "It," meaning the application, "does not describe the experiences of those students that are currently enrolled in Inglewood and why a different option is needed at this time." He also said,
"I have a couple questions. Sure. Did any of the people that you hired to evaluate this, did you determine whether they have a balanced record in recommending the approval and or denial of charters to various districts?"
I do not know their record of approving or making recommendations. What we asked them to do is not make recommendations around approval or denial. We specifically told them don't do that. We asked them to provide feedback on the application itself without making a final recommendation. We did ask them to score the rubric.
And your district has turned down two applications prior to this?
Two. This is the third one.
Two of yeah. two.
This is the third one now.
And was the basis for those denials in some way similar to the basis for your denial of this one?
There are some similarities. I would have to go back and review the rubrics and the feedback, but there are some similarities and there are some differences.
So your district is the number of charter applications you've had, as far as you know, common? I mean, three in 3 years, is that common? More than most, less than most?
I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Do you know how many charter applications have been made to Inglewood School District in its, well, since the charter school law was passed?
In the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe there was one application. It was the one that Mr. Clough referred to that applied to like 75 different schools, and it was quickly withdrawn or it didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we've had three additional ones.
So four total.
What's that?
Four total.
Four total, yes. Okay. Lori Deacon, our final consultant, who is known in Colorado as a financial expert when it comes to charter school budgets. She said, quote, "I've been spending a lot of time thinking about this, and realistically, everything on this application comes up with a one, which is partially meets on the rubric. There's not enough detailed information to get good estimates or costs." So the Board of Education looked at the hard evidence that was submitted by the application and gathered through community meetings. We sifted through the appellant's generalized statements that have not been supported by fact. For example, there was a comment made in the application that more competition will create and hopefully raise the standard of education in Inglewood. And the nexus between more competition and a raised standard of education, that's a grand statement that I am not aware that is supported by any evidence. And I would also suggest that there's not a lot of research and track record for a charter school like Tri-City that serves a demographic like Inglewood that would be successful. And the argument that it would benefit the community and improve the school district and improve student growth and achievement, it's just not there in this particular application. The Board of Education ultimately determined that the three outside experts, the District Accountability Committee.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the District Accountability turn it down?
Yes, they did. They didn't. They made recommendations and findings to the Board of Education and turned it down.
Did they have a rubric that they use?
They use the same rubric.
And was this the same rubric used for the other two?
The same rubric. The rubric has changed.
Prior applications?
We use the one that's approved by CDE and used by the Institute.
Okay.
Okay.
That helps. Thank you.
The board found... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Follow up to that. Did the DAC have access to the findings of the consultants when
they
looked at their rubric?
They did.
So that likely influenced their... recommendations?
I don't know that to be true. We have a fairly articulate and gifted group of DAC members. It's high functioning, really involved parents. They did their due diligence and they did a careful evaluation of the application. I'll continue unless there's other questions. The Board of Education also determined, after reviewing the application and looking at the feedback, listening to community presentations, engaging in an open dialogue with Tri-City applicants and the Delta Incubator Group, that they truly lacked a deep understanding of the school district, the current choices that we offer within the school district and the programs that we have available for kids, and in general, our families and our kids. We also asked some questions that we didn't get answers to. We asked about enrollment information of potential students as required by statute, and on two occasions they failed to clearly define what that information looked like. And we also asked for them to define some financial arrangements with Delta, and we still don't have a clear picture of that. Ultimately, the Board of Education's analysis revealed, and it's set forth in more detail in the denial resolution and the district answer brief, that the application is based upon a vision by the appellants, one of which is a charter school incubator, which led to the simultaneous submission of the application to three different school districts. And for us, that calls into question, how tailored is this for Inglewood Schools? For example, in their application, they say they're going to charge for full-day kindergarten. We already offer full-day kindergarten for all of our kids for free. Another example... is this truly an application for Inglewood? Like Sheridan, it states that we have 38,442 students. Now, I'm very interested in getting that PPR. And yet, Inglewood Schools actually has less than 3,000 schools, as the appellants have stated, and we actually have declining and flat enrollment, not growing enrollment. Representative of the entire application, and really important here, that there really is no significant support and grassroots movement for this charter school in Inglewood. Community meetings during the application process demonstrated little or no support. At the school board meeting on October 28th, Inglewood parents actually stood up and opposed the application. And at the December State Board of Education meeting, we actually had a parent here who is also our Inglewood DAC chairperson. She spoke out to the State Board of Education about the appellants and in support of the Board of Education's denial. And while community partners have been vaguely and loosely asserted by the appellants, there is no nexus between these partnerships having an interest in anything other than incubating a charter school. This is of grave concern to us. Parts of the applications were incomplete, resulting in difficulties in a full analysis and the potential of the success of this school. You will note in the waiver section that there are missing rationales and there's no replacement policies. As stated by the outside experts and the District Accountability Committee, the financial arrangement within the district with the management contract are difficult to evaluate. There's not enough evidence to substantiate the enrollment numbers to support an economically sound budget. To date, there still is not an identified building in Inglewood, although the appellants allude to a potential confidential site that hasn't been at least disclosed yet. This failure to meet is a critical and very important application requirement that's set forth by the rules. Information provided is insufficient to evaluate the details of the budget. The school, by looking at their goals for their kids, it is not a rigorous standard for pupil performance at all.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Did you initially approve this application as being complete?
It's yes, and I'll let legal counsel respond to that if that's okay.
So let me just finish here.
Okay.
So you did find the application to be complete, and then now you're finding it to be some way inadequate in the amount of information submitted. Is that correct?
We're defining complete differently. Legal counsel?
Yes. In terms of the requirements under the Charter School Act, the district is to look to see if it's complete, meaning that there is a section in the application that addresses each of the statutory requirements in the Charter School Act. So when the district receives an application, it doesn't go into detail. It looks to see if there is a section on each of those required components from the statute. And that's what the district did in August to say
did
that there was.
Did you subsequently receive the application, I'm pulling this from memory, try to find that the application was not complete?
No. This.
So that's something that you did not do. You did not change your position as to whether or not the application was complete.
No.
The application itself is complete in terms of the statutory requirements having a component. However, it is then missing the details and the substantive pieces that they then looked at in their review process. And that's where the additional pieces of the waiver and the management contract were missing.
Thank you.
An important piece of the application that's troublesome. The application states that 90% of the students will make 1 year's growth in 1 year's time. And based on the kids that we serve in Englewood, this absolutely is not a rigorous standard. Our kids are meeting and exceeding this right now in Englewood. We have significant numbers of kids who are making a year and a half to 2 years growth based on CDE's assessments and our own internal formative and summative and benchmark assessments. So. We'd be very concerned about what they would call a rigorous standard. I'll move on. Covered some of that. I'll just go to a conclusion here. The district did objectively review the application, and it was analyzed how it either did meet or it did not meet the requirements of the Charter School Act. The denial resolution set forth the board's reasons for denial, specifically relating to the reasons, to the purposes of the act and the application requirements. Bottom line is we did our due diligence. When the district approved it, when the district does approve, and I bet that it probably will at some point, its first charter, it will be a high quality application. It will be set forth by parents in the district and have community support. It will be a viable option for the district students so that the school and the students can be successful. This application in totality is of low quality and without parent and community support. Financially, it's on shaky ground, and it's not set up for success. It's about the business of incubating a charter school, and as we know, Delta was involved with at least 4 applications this past fall, and it feels very much like simply having a charter school is the most important thing as opposed to educating students in a manner that's supported by the local community. As the superintendent of Englewood Schools and on behalf of the Board of Education and the Englewood community, I would urge you to uphold the district's denial of the Tri-City Charter application. Thank you for your time, and we have our team here to answer any questions that we might have with the remaining time. How much?
421.
421.
Anyone have any questions?
I have one question, and you may have to defer this,
okay.
But I see that part of your reasons for denial is that your belief that charter schools need to be, I'm sorry, I don't have the language in front of me, but basically the implication is that they need to be better than district schools. Is that your belief?
I don't believe that charter schools need to be better. I'm not sure that we have that anywhere. I think that they need to meet our standard. And 1 year's growth in 1 year's time in a school district that serves a significant student of students of poverty, 65-70%, we need to make sure that we're making, if you will, 2 years growth. Now, do we do that with every kid? No. Do we do that with a whole bunch of kids? Yes. And our track record right now speaks for it. We have significant growth. Our achievement is not there. We have a long ways to go. But we have traction. We are moving. We are shaking. And honestly, Englewood's the place to be right now.
Okay.
That was more than you wanted. Sorry.
And I guess, all right. I guess the question is, would they be providing a program that is not in Englewood, that parents would want to? I'm
not opposed to I'm not opposed to any particular curriculum because
right.
Curriculum is not a magic bullet.
Right.
Really hard grinding work with kids who come from households of poverty. It's a grind.
Right.
It's hard work, And there's no one at CDE, there's no one in this state that can solve that problem standing up here today. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we've solved that. Every single day we come, we work with individual kids, as I'm sure Tri-City would, but we are making progress with those kids. There's no magic curriculum. I'm not for or against any particular curricular model, but I do know what good instruction looks like, and that's what I'm after.
Thank you.
Oh, you go ahead.
Well, you don't need to during this time.
There are children that would likely perform better in this system that is proposed and perform better in the system that you have. Is it your job to deny them that opportunity to choose the program that might work the best for their children?
No, it's not my job, but my job is to listen to the community. And if I see 100 people show up at a board meeting and they say, we want core knowledge, guess what's going to happen really quickly? The Board of Education, like you, are going to adhere to the demands of that community. We have not heard that from this community. We've heard the exact opposite. We have traction. We're moving forward. It's really hard to separate core knowledge curriculum from the students that they traditionally and typically serve in charter schools across this nation. It's really difficult to separate that demographic. And when I ask that question at a community meeting about, give me a school that has our demographic where you've had success with core knowledge, blank stares, and it took a while, and we finally got at least one school in Colorado that has had some success in Eagle County. But there wasn't a whole list of a slew of schools that have had success with this. It's about instruction. It's not about curriculum.
Yeah. So even though they're... I'm sorry.
40 seconds.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, so there's some, even though there's some kids that might very well benefit from this, that your conclusion is that somehow the positives outweigh the negatives, and that that you might have a difficult time with free kindergarten competing with paid-for kindergarten?
I'm not sure I understand that question. We have full day kindergarten, and it's paid for.
Yeah.
And that's a huge in a community of poverty.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We now call on Tri-City for the allotted minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you. First off, as an example of a core knowledge school that is successful with a similar population is James Irwin Charter Academy in District 11, which is authorized by CSI and I believe is the highest performing elementary school in all of Southern Colorado, as well as the other James Irwin Middle School that is in Harrison School District 2, which is also a high performing school serving a similar population using a core knowledge direct instruction approach.
May I ask a question? Mm-hmm. You stated, the superintendent here stated, that there's 67 to 70% poor and minority students. Would you say that core knowledge would be complementary curriculum to this population?
Absolutely. The population was first picked who they wanted to, this Tri-City Academy wanted to serve. And that was students that are at risk from low-income families, English language learners, and they looked for a curriculum that they thought would be a good fit to help increase those academic standards and growth rates.
Even though that curriculum is kind of snidely called dead white men curriculum?
That is very much your matter of opinion, and
no,
it's
no,
not something
that's
widely accepted.
No, but we're
and
not
so
here to argue,
this applicant group thinks that it is an appropriate choice for that group, and it is, you know, just your opinion against many others, and so that is not something that I think we're going to resolve
today. Well, in curriculum circles, that's what it's called.
Yes.
Can you speak to community support for the school?
Mr. Gillett, can you address that?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman and Board. We have had a lot of, as stated before, I hold regular meetings as my role in the city, and there have been a lot of parents who wanted to know what's been going on, how are we progressing. These are parents who really don't want to be involved in the process. They want a positive outcome. They're not the type of parents who will come to the school board and demand. They're the type of parents who say, can you please help us get something done? And that's been my role in the different meetings we had. Recently, we had an Inglewood event at a park that the school board was also at, where we had numerous applications that day with numerous people. And the most interesting thing about that is most of the applicants were of minority background. So minorities are attracted to what we're doing. They understand that this curriculum, and Madam Chairman, I can't take offense to that white man's, dead white man's.
Dead.
It is not. This curriculum is specifically geared to the minority group and English as a second language learners. And so there's a lot of positives, but the community is really looking forward to it. And again, I will restate, the reason I got into this is I had so many of my parents in my district that I would go meet that were sending their children to Littleton School District, to private, and I had numerous parents that I don't have a choice. I can't afford to send my child somewhere else. So again, those that are who are impoverished or have are economically disadvantaged, they don't have a choice, and those are the parents who are the ones that will be attracting and offering them a choice. But as for the community, I did an article about a year ago and showed that in the last 10 years there was a 29% decline in enrollment in Inglewood schools, but yet the population has only declined by a couple percent. And what we have is we have parents with children looking whether or not they want to move into Inglewood because they look at the state scores and they find that Inglewood is underperforming. We have one performing elementary school here today. We have three others in the district that are underperforming. Yes, we have. There are some, but when 75% of your elementaries are underperforming, we think that there's an issue, and these are what the parents are saying. And my own niece, the tip-off for me was my own niece with her own two children moved to Littleton so she could be with her kids that she took out of district because she lost confidence in our school district. So that's why I'm involved. That's what the community's telling me. In my district, I would say 75% of the people around my area send their kids somewhere else. And I say my area, I'm saying 3, 4, 5 blocks. And that's still too many. Are there areas of Inglewood that do support? Yes, we do. My children went all the way through Inglewood school system. My wife's best friend and one of our board members, his wife was valedictorian of Inglewood schools in the top percentage. So there's a lot of support for our schools. We're just saying some parents want a choice. They are choosing to leave, and they are voting with their feet by moving out. We believe 25 to 35% of our families with children are going somewhere else, and that needs to be addressed.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gillett. I want to address the application process briefly, and specifically the rubric that the district has said is something that's been approved by CDE. So the district chose to use CSI, the Charter School Institute's rubric for evaluating a charter school. The charter school application team informed the district before submitting their application that they would be using the state model application. They used the state model application.
What's the difference, please?
So there's a model application that CDE has worked on and has put together, and which is used by most school districts for taking charter school applications. The Charter School Institute, as a statewide authorizer, has some different criteria that they look at, particularly evidence of need.
So there's a conflict between what CDE recommends and what's NASCA?
There are some sections within the CSI model application and rubric that are not included in the CDE model application and rubric.
It looks like Ms. Mund would like to speak to that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I would love to because I lived all of this. As you probably remember, I worked on that model application representing CDE. What CSI has done is taken the model application and combined different sections of it, and in one place they put, for instance, statement of need. And shortly after the Charter Schools Act was passed, and I think it was in 97, this General Assembly took out that statement of need because it was, in essence, asking a charter applicant to say why they want to get out of the district and how they're doing something wrong. And it wasn't a positive thing. CSI put that back in there, and I understand that they need to determine if there's need for a new charter school in an area of the state where they really don't have any familiarity until the issue comes up. But it's not the model application rubric. that was designed by CDE, the League of Charter Schools, and CSI. It has been changed. And so, it's like apples and oranges.
Okay, but the concerns that were expressed, which is about the kids, what kids are interested in, the financial piece, et cetera, those are in both, right? So the concerns that the district has with the application are, in fact, items and areas that you would find in both rubrics. Am I wrong?
Generally, except for in the non-CSI part of the act, it's very specific to list all of the components. And CSI does things a little bit differently than districts and applicants to districts. And so it's apples and oranges. There really is not a comparison. It's not a line for line kind of a comparison.
Do you think there ought to be a legislative requirement that we're consistent so that we don't run into this?
Well, CSI,
I know I'm not in favor of legislation, but I'm not in favor of this either because I don't think it serves anybody, actually.
CSI has a different area of the state in which they work. You know, they work
all
across
over the state.
Districts.
Right.
It is in statute what is in the model application. And it was because the model application was developed that it was put into statute to align to that. The CSI rubric does not align to statute.
Okay, thank you.
So, in summary, the district used the wrong grading sheet. So there is a rubric that goes along with the state's model application. And so if they had chosen the actual rubric that applies to district authorizers instead of to the state's only state-level authorizer, then they would have aligned correctly. And so it's very difficult to score a charter application when you're using the wrong grading sheet. So going to the standards that were set forth of 1 year's growth, that is a floor. It's not what the Tri-City Academy team aspires to have its students obtain. And as the district's pointed out, you know, it has some schools, Bishop is the one we keep hearing over and over, that is the students are achieving, you know, 2 years, 1.5 years, which is great. And we want those students to achieve at least that or better. Yes.
But didn't you say that you were going to be able to get those students to perform at 1 to 2 standard deviations above what they did? A standard deviation is not, or 2 standard deviations is not usually a grade level. And just by a test, you know, look at the SAT, which has a standard deviation of 1 or 2. No, I'm just saying that standard deviations is not grade levels.
That was a federal study. It was a study of blended learning across the nation. They took from 6 states, I believe, 100,000
students.
Oh,
so you weren't saying that you were going to do 1 standard deviation or 2. I thought that's what you had stated.
No, what our goal is the floor that we set up in the application. I was just using the research behind blended learning to prove that the curriculum and the model that we have chosen will work for this population.
Well, the thing is that core knowledge is not used. Okay, do you know the research on core knowledge and the use for culturally different children? Do you know that research?
Yes, yes.
And what is it?
No, we don't have time for him to give us
a... No, the research states
We're going to choose to not answer that question and move on. Going
it's
back to the floor, that the 1 year's growth time is a floor. And every charter school has to set a goal and enter into a contract that you're going to meet certain performance standards. So if this application said, we're going to get 2 years' growth, but you're taking students who are currently getting less than 1 year's of growth and you're now expecting them to get 2, now you've held yourself in a contract to meeting a standard that's not realistic. So to say 1 year, which is better than what the district is currently averaging, is raising the bar, but will still, of course, work to try and get the students to achieve as much growth as possible, which that differentiated learning approach will enable.
How much time do I have, Ms. Markle?
2 minutes and 48 seconds.
All right, so I want to address the goal of incubating the charter school. It's not this nefarious idea of creating this profit center. It's about creating opportunities for children who are in underperforming district to raise up the standard of education that they're able to get. Now, of course, not every parent in the district is going to want to go to the charter school, but it's not this goal of creating a business for Delta or the unpaid Tri-City Academy board. And the reason there is no contract that's been provided with Delta is one doesn't exist. How that works out is going to be largely based on who the principal is going to be and what level of experience they have, what level of experience the teachers have.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does Delta have any other contracts with any other charter schools?
No. In fact, Delta was just formed a year ago. And the reason is precisely what we're dealing with here, is that there were different parent groups throughout the state that I had become aware of that were not able to get a school open for whatever reason, and there were multiple reasons. Delta has funded all of the work with Tri-City. Tri-City has paid Delta absolutely nothing, and there is no plan to pay Delta anything for the work that's been done. It has been gifted to Tri-City.
I thought I saw somewhere that you were going to be paid $135,000. You decided to gift that, or am I confused about that?
If approved, once the school is open, we will be paid on a per-service basis on a level that is comparable to other charter schools. For instance, it's likely that we will be providing business services to Tri-City Academy.
So Delta will enable the school to get the expertise of many different people that the school would not otherwise be able to afford to hire. And so that $130,000 or whatever it works out to be once the need is actually assessed will be providing all these experience and people that can provide part-time work instead of having to hire full-time people to do those jobs.
May I ask the superintendent?
All right, now we have time, and maybe this will fit in here, John. You may, board members may ask final questions.
I didn't think they'd had a chance yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off. You may have your final time. Well, I've totally lost track of how much it is, but
8 minutes.
8 minutes. We know what that is.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Just to clarify a couple of things. In one document in the application, the professional services for Delta and ICM grows from $135,000 in the first year to $400,000 in 5 years, which is about a 200% increase. Those numbers are in the application. That's a little concerning. Another thing I would like to respond to is the notion that somehow parents of who live in poverty or parents of color are somehow fearful and have been intimidated not to come out and speak for or against any issue in the district. That's absolutely false, and actually that's offensive. When parents of poverty or parents of color have issues, they are in the principal's offices addressing those issues, as any good parent would do, because they care deeply about their kids regardless of their socioeconomic status. If those problems don't get solved at the school level, guess where they come? They come to my office. There's not a lot of layers of bureaucracy, and I meet with parents weekly around issues of improving their students' opportunities in the schools, as well as working with principals to improve schools. And so I have no validation that our parents, if they wanted a charter school this particular program, would not come out. Yeah.
How would the denial of this charter be in the best interest of your students and your community?
How would the denial? The denial isn't about core knowledge in my mind, and if that's what you're asking, the denial is about a bad plan.
I'm asking in an overarching manner.
Okay.
How would that be in the best interest of your students and your community?
the best interest of our... I think that our parents and our community should have something to say what's in the best interest of their school and their school district. And so until we hear that grassroots and upswell of parents who say, we demand this, and I've been involved in charter schools before, both in Douglas County and Academy 20, which have multiple charter schools. When parents want a charter school, when they want a program, they're in front of that Board of Education. Doesn't matter what their situation is in the world, they will demand to have that program. The other thing is that there's talk about this rubric. The issues of denial are of substance, regardless of rubric. The district has used the same CSI rubric for the past 2 years. This is no surprise. We also have an assistant superintendent, Patty Hanrahan. Is she in the room? She crosswalked, actually, the rubrics. We're on solid ground with the findings of the different groups. The other thing is that we're not required to use any particular rubric at all. We could develop our own, but we didn't. We used one that's been approved by CSI and CDE.
One more follow-up. You said you would like to see parents, and I think that's certainly a more traditional model of charter applications, as it's a group of parents who come together and decide to. But I think we would all agree that that's a rigorous, difficult process, the application and successfully getting a charter school approved. Are you? How do you feel? Tell me how you feel about groups such as Tri-City Team or Delta being involved in trying to get charter schools approved.
I don't have any like animosity towards Tri-City or towards Delta. I have my concern is the application and what that application says about what they're going to do. It has nothing to do with this team or incubating or anything like that. It's really about, for us, it's not about whether I like or dislike charter schools. I'm fine with charter schools. I'm about quality. So just a couple of quick other comments. They keep saying that this 90% of students make a year's worth of growth in a year's time. They call it the floor. That's not what the application says. It's a goal. A goal is not the floor. It's right there in their application. There's also been question about the credibility of some of us internally about how do we evaluate charter schools. I can tell you I worked in Academy District 20 at the first school of choice in Academy 20, Mountain View Technology Magnet School. It was operated exactly like a charter school at the same time charter schools were coming into existence. So I have that experience that was very similar. I also was the
Was it a charter school?
It was not a charter school. It was a magnet school at that time.
Apples and oranges.
It was operated almost identically to the charter schools that were started at Academy 20. It is not a charter school. I was also the charter school liaison between the district and charter school applicants when I was in Academy District 20. I also worked in a heavy charter environment in Douglas County and had great relationships with charter schools there, so I don't have any problem with charter schools. Also, John Folly, who is our CFO, he worked in St. Vrain. St. Vrain during the onset of lots of charter schools there, two of which have since failed due to financial reasons. We have lots of experience and expertise around charter schools.
Why do you bring up the two that failed? What was the point of that?
Just because he has experience seeing successful charter schools, and he also has experience seeing charter schools that have failed financially.
Right.
Working in St. Vrain. That's all. I'm rebutting the fact that we don't have expertise.
You would agree, wouldn't you, that there's a lot of reasons why any school might fail, including charters?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Was St. Vrain the district that did end up under management of the state treasurer?
That's correct.
So it can happen to almost anyone in any...
correct.
I got it.
Sorry.
Tragedy or what?
Cold water on it.
How much time do I have? Okay. I guess in closing, we have a significant crowd here today. And just by a show of hands, I would like to see the people in the room how many of them are here in support of the Inglewood Board of Education's denial of the Tri-City application. That's a significant number of folks who came out today.
Sorry,
thank you
I
for the rebuttal.
I was wiping up water.
Okay.
You didn't see the hands. Most of the hands went up.
They said they wouldn't say.
I'm so sorry.
Don't get electrocuted.
Yeah. You can keep talking.
Okay. My last comment was simply that there's a lot of community members, parents, and staff members from the school district today that came down in support of the Board of Education in their denial of the Tri-City application. And I simply asked those that were here in support of the board's denial to simply raise their hands, and then I was going to sit down.
Thank you. Board, are there any we may now discuss with it amongst ourselves the question and offer a motion to uphold or deny, whatever. Any further comments, Ms. Sheffel?
Again, I think the program suggests a curriculum is very appropriate to the students. There's a lot of data suggesting it supports strong student achievement. We have many kids across the state on waiting lists for charters. We need more choice. I feel that it would be an addition to the system.
Jane, any comments?
These are hard decisions. These are heavy decisions. There's strong merit on both sides of any of these conversations. Having followed the progress, the story of Inglewood over the past several years, the developments in the district are notable, and there's an appreciation, I think, I'm sure, among all of us, about the unique nature of this area, of the metro area. I was reminded today, it's not that I didn't know, the meaning and the definition and the ramifications of the word, whether it's contiguous or contiguous. Learned something.
More cantankerous.
Yes. They all start with those same letters, don't they? But I appreciate the possibilities here, and in all cases, whatever kind of possibilities we're talking about. I applaud Inglewood's progress over the past 3 years, and recall the satisfaction, the gratification from everybody in the area when your mill bond did pass, and when that success was realized, and when a couple of other really incredibly significant things for a community have happened in your area. The AEC, if I'd have had a chance to develop a question and get it out in time, it would have been around that area. Where are the possibilities for, in any of our district schools that still are climbing the mountain, getting to the top of the summit? They're not that year there yet, and yet we have great charter possibilities and potentials that really aren't quite in line yet with that age group, whether it's an elementary, starting as an elementary, going full K-8 and then even growing farther. So I applaud it. I will cast a vote when we do it. But I do want to let all of you know, I'm particularly tending toward keeping the district on its path right now.
Mrs. Flores, do you have a comment?
I do. I think if the district is on a positive note, it seems as if it does. Seeing the wide support from the community, who does not seem to share the same, who doesn't seem to share that they want a charter school, and knowing that working on a SEAC committee where every dog and pony show that was in town for a charter would come forward, and seeing that when sometimes they got through, and when SEAC saw that, you know, they didn't have a chance, and then years later seeing that they didn't do well, what they did was they really disrupted a community and sometimes killed a community. And we have to be very concerned about that community and what happens to communities that sometimes are fragile, that we don't want to destroy communities. And this can't happen when the school is the center of that community. And so I would say that we have to be very cautious. Pam?
Well, thank you, all of you. I know there's a lot of passion. There's been a lot of work on both sides. I, again, say that I believe in choice. I actually believe that competition does help all of our schools to succeed. And I am very hopeful for another opportunity, another choice for children in a challenged area to have their needs met.
Mr. Durham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this application is unique in that it intends to serve a geographic area rather than a district, which I think is a little bit unusual. And I think really a positive that it's an opportunity to attract students to a more disciplined, different kind of learning opportunity. Those in the surrounding districts that choose to avail themselves of it can be benefited. If they're not benefited, they won't be in business very long. And I don't see how in the long run that those who do not choose to exercise this option will be in any way damaged. So I will vote in support of the application.
It feels like Groundhog Day from 11 to 1.
Two.
And I'm going to support this for all the wrong reasons. Okay? I'm going to support this because of the vote for Sheridan. I don't know if I would have supported this for Englewood, but certainly this school is likely to be cited there. The support that has been identified, both in terms of the board and in terms of some students, come from Englewood. So some kind of reasoning would suggest that if I'd had a choice, I did have a choice, and I voted my choice, and I lost. So for that reason, I really want you Tri-City to be working with two districts. I'm not confident that you're ready. I'm really not. I think it's a poor application, no matter what rubric you used, and that shouldn't have happened. I am worried about the financial piece. I do know how hard it is for charter schools to meet their budget expectations. You're going to have to find a lot of students. I don't think they're going to come from Sheridan. I'm not sure they're going to come from Englewood either. So, but they'll come from under some rock, or it'll go under. But I'm supporting it only because you're going to need two really quality school districts. And I do think both of these are high-quality school districts to help you guys do this well. And I'm not sure they won't come back and say you're still not ready for prime time, because it is already January, and you're thinking August, and I know how long this takes. So good luck. I'm not thrilled, but I'm going to move forward.
Thank you very much. Angelica had a really interesting point here that I really hadn't thought of. But I probably would have voted for it anyway, but I agree with her. You know, we've got a charter school here that's talking about two different districts. And so since we have a voted 4-1, I think it makes sense to vote for the other. And you know, if you rise to the occasion and make a school work, it's all for the better. And if you don't, well, then, you know, competition has had its way. So I appreciate Angelica's comment there. And we
may
will
I ask
move
a question? It's a comment.
You're not.
Well, it's a question about authority.
No, a comment would be much better.
Okay, so who would be in control?
That's not for us to determine.
This is what was talked about earlier. There's going to be a decision made ultimately by Tri-City.
They'll decide.
They will be in control. They'll make the decision if they.
No, but usually they're under. Aren't they subsumed under a district?
Yes, but they'll make that decision.
At this point, we probably should move ahead and offer the.
So I'm asking a question, maybe of them.
The question you're asking is that since they've applied in two districts,
yes,
and it seems possible that this board will remand in both cases for each district to reconsider. Which district could wind up with a charter school. And that depends on several factors.
Okay.
You could have both districts deny the application a second time, in which case you'll have two more appeals coming to this board. You could have one agree to charter the school and the other deny it, in which case I would presume that the charter school would go with that district that accepted it. You could have a situation where both districts want to approve it, at which point in time, since there could only be one authorizer, the charter school would have to choose between the districts.
Okay. That was my question.
If there's no further discussion, I would call for a motion.
I move that the decision of the local board was contrary to the best interest of the pupils, the school district, or community, and move to remand this matter to the Arapahoe County School District Number 1 for reconsideration.
Is there a second?
Second. I second.
Call the roll, please.
Steve Durham.
Aye.
Val Flores.
No.
Jane Bob.
No.
Marcia Neal.
Aye.
Hannah Masnick.
Aye.
Deborah Sheffield.
Yes.
Angelica Schroeder.
Aye.
And motion therefore carries.
And
we have to do the delegation thing again.
You guys want to do it again?
Who would like to? You want to
be great at it.
You and who was the other one? Jane?
Jane.
Okay. And you want to do that for both of them since you're doing it? I move to delegate that Steve Durham and Jane Goff the responsibility to write instructions to the local Board of Education with specific recommendations concerning the matters requiring reconsideration to reflect the State Board's discussion during this hearing. And I want to thank you all for your participation, and I know this is not easy. We really appreciate your efforts.
Marcia,
thank you.
I think we need to read this.
okay. In order to comply with the statutory deadline, this must be finalized within the next business day in order to finalize the order.
No pressure.
Thank you. Get it done. But appreciate it all. Thank you.
Thank you.